We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning.
It says here to take two for results in 8 hours. That means we should take eight for results in two. Yep.
With Dusty Hara.
Can't see the line, can you, Russ?
No.
And Cam Cleland.
Calm down, Greg. It's soccer. It's soccer.
Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
People don't forget.
The Fan.
Hour number two, Dusty and Cam in the mornings. Your sports grudges still get me.
One of the guys asked me here on the text line, that Husky kicker, does he still show up to all the events, and what do we do? And I said, and I text back, I said, you know, he shows up to all our golf tournaments. It's nothing but chanks. Some things never change.
Well, you know, just be kick. Just be a kicker hater your whole life, and you're good.
Stay with it.
Own it. I'm going to love it.
If you're once a shanker, always.
I'm going to love it when your kid's like, Dad, I want to kick.
You're quite funny today.
What if it's his passion, man?
Yeah. Passion?
Yeah.
Who grows up to say, I want to be a passionate kicker?
Grammatica?
No. They're soccer players that say, hey, this NFL thing, they'll pay me money to kick it between these uprights. I'll do that. Well, nobody grows up saying I'm passionate about kicking.
What if your kid
They're great soccer players that turn into
What if your kid passion. Goes, Dad, I got a really good leg. I was at Pop Warner.
I tell him, go play soccer, is what I would tell him.
And they said I could be the kicker this year.
Nobody yells at soccer players for missing wide left and right. Nobody does.
You should go to Europe.
Yeah.
You don't think that they do?
Okay, so if there was a guy standing in the middle of the goalposts with gloves on and could jump really high, would we think different of the kickers?
Well, yeah, they have those guys. You just can't jump over the linemen anymore.
You can't block a kick once it passes the line of scrimmage. I'm talking about at the goalposts, standing on the crossbar.
They should do that. They should let them do that.
All right.
You know? Let them do that. All right. Well, good. I got to poke the bear a little bit, got your kicker rant going for the day. Now let's get going with the hot and cool, buddy.
What's hot?
Spoken.
What's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot.
Hot and cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
Brought to you on the fan by Area Heating and Cooling. With more than 30 trucks in Portland and Vancouver, you won't have to wait on Area.
That's pretty cool, I guess.
Michael Johnson Jr., Sheldon High School quarterback, has become the first Oregonian. I don't know if he's even Oregonian. He's born in California. He's the first player from the state of Oregon to make it to the Elite 11 finals in 13 years. Former Cal quarterback Kevin Riley, the last Oregonian to do it, former Beaverton product. But Michael Johnson Jr. out of Sheldon High School is going down to the Elite 11 finals with Trent Dilfer, competing with the best quarterbacks in the country.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Cool, I guess.
That's pretty cool, I guess.
It's really cool.
Can you take a guess at what the other two quarterbacks that did it were? It was in the year 2000, and they are both still currently in the NFL.
Wow. Derek Anderson.
Yes.
Who's the other Oregon quarterback that's playing in that? That's
Kellen
a tough
Clemens.
One. I wouldn't have never gotten that.
Yeah, you wouldn't have never gotten that.
Yeah, DA, though.
Yeah, Derek Anderson out of Scappoose. And
free agent
Kellen
Derek
Clemens.
Anderson right now.
Right.
Yeah.
I think free agent Kellen Clemens, yeah. Too. So you got that going for you, which is nice.
Feeling hot, hot, hot.
How about this one? The Seattle Mariners, no Robbie Cano, don't you know? No problem. They pick up a 9-8 win in 11 innings as Guillermo Heredia. Is that his name?
Sounds good.
I think that's wrong. Heredia hits a walk-off in the 11th inning. It's not definitely. Yeah,
I fell asleep. I'll be honest with you. I didn't give up. I just fell asleep.
You did give up.
No, I did not give up because my screen was still on when I did wake up.
Fell asleep at the
Your
TV
eyes
on,
gave
huh?
up.
My eyes gave up. My old man status. I can't make it.
As my father would say, I was just checking my eyelids for light leaks.
I was just resting my... Have you that one of the good excuses? I'm just resting my eyes.
I was sleeping, dude.
I'm just resting.
I was sleeping.
Swear.
Gordon Beckham, Robinson Cano's replacement, he hit ninth and went 2 for 4. Don't even need him.
Got your replacement.
Don't even need
Don't
Robinson
need
Cano anymore.
35-year-old masking agent.
You don't even need him. They can do whatever they want. All right, now, I think that this is more than cool. This is awesome.
And that's cool. That's cool.
And how about that? How about that? Stephen Piscotty, and that baby is gone.
Wow. And to the Piscotty family in Pleasanton, if you're standing and cheering or maybe a little tear, we know why. As he touches his heart, as he said, and looked up to the skies, and congratulations to Stephen Piscotty.
Stephen Piscotty, we talked about him. His mother died. She had ALS, and he got a hit in his first game after his mother's death. Well, he took a bereavement absence from the A's, and he comes back after his mother's funeral, first game back, hits a home run. That's pretty awesome.
Only in baseball.
Yeah.
No, it just, this has happened in sports, and it's a great story.
Yes. Yes, it is. Okay. This is not hot, but Jason Witten may have a hot take.
Oh, hot, 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 hot.
Do you see that Jason Witten is doing the rounds for...
And doing a good job.
Yeah, I really never knew what his voice sounded like.
Sharp, smooth, no fillers.
Mm-hmm.
Really good job.
Really quick getting in and out.
He has a... You know who he sounds just like? Troy Aikman.
You know who...
I think he went to speech school with Troy.
You know who he... one thing about that, I heard an interview on Get Up with Greenberg, mm-hmm. where it was all of them together. And Booger McFarlane, like, they would ask a question on the whole panel. So it was Lisa Salters, Booger McFarlane, Jason Witten,
Joe Testor. Tell me, Booger just interrupted everybody.
He would jump in, first person to respond to everything.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, okay,
shut up, Booger.
Well, they're going to have to turn his mic off.
Yeah.
But one thing that's overlooked in a broadcast is how you have to have contrasting voices in there. And Witten and Joe Testor, you could just listen to them talk. Like, and that's a good thing.
That is a good thing. Like, you can't have similarities.
Yeah, they don't sound too similar. They can jump in and out because you never see them.
Yeah, nobody wants to hear two frat boys talking about a game.
Yeah, bro. Anyways, Jason Witten, what he had to say was he believes Dez Bryant will sign with the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. The team where his catch-non-catch... cost them a chance at the NFC Championship.
Did you see that truck the other day, by the way, that had the tailgate with Dez reaching out for the pylon and the license plate read 88 caught it?
Yeah.
Talk about holding on to a sports grudge.
Right.
Yeah, where are they in the textual?
Quickly, can I tell you why that would work in Green Bay? Because the precise passing of Aaron Rodgers, the ability to make throws to Dez Bryant where he can react and be able to say, I need you to be specific. I heard this too, listening to kind of how the interaction with Aaron Rodgers would be. Dez Bryant needs that kind of leadership. That's why Tony Romo worked so well with him, because Tony would tell him, Dez, I need you to run an out route at 12 yards today, not at 15. Get over at 12. Dak Prescott is just like, I'll hand it off and get open. He needs that kind of precise leadership in the huddle, and that's why I think that if Dez gets that kind of response from a guy who can throw a ball on a back shoulder and knock a pop can off from 50 yards, that would be successful.
And that's also a good reason why he didn't go to Baltimore.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco's not that guy. Lamar Jackson would be a guy who can't command him the way that...
He needs that kind of leadership.
Run. Yeah.
Tell him what to do.
Would Eli be good with him?
Any veteran that has that kind of leadership skills, yes.
Okay. All right. And we got one more.
It's hot. Damn hot. Real hot.
It's the Boston Celtics, my man. Boston Celtics 2-0 series lead over the Cavaliers 107-94 last night. And Mr. Cleland, that is what's hot and cool on the fan. It's brought to you by Airy Heating and Cooling. More than 30 trucks in Portland and Vancouver. You won't have to wait on your local train comfort specialist. It's hard to stop a train in the NBA playoffs. are a collision course of predictability. 7:14 on the Fan. T1 Dustin sums it up very well when he says, LeBron can't even beat a shorthanded Celtics team when he drops 40. Last night, LeBron James special again. He goes for a triple-double last night. 42 points, 12 assists, 10 rebounds. And his team loses by 13 points to the Boston Celtics. He gone!
Yeah, the individuals can't handle it versus team basketball. As good as LeBron James is, he was gassed in the fourth quarter. He was done.
And in game one, he didn't have anybody else show up in that game. Game two, Kevin Love showed up. Kevin Love played well last night, offensively.
Yeah.
But on the defensive end, that's a different story. Kevin Love goes 22-15. They only had one other player score in double figures outside of LeBron and Love.
You know what amazes me as I watch these games and I see what LeBron James did to the Toronto Raptors, because you mentally just beat up on the Toronto Raptors and owns a city now named LeBronto.
Mm-hmm.
Boston Celtics are so young, they don't know what they're... I'm going to look at it this way. They're so young, they don't know who they're facing. They're like, it's this LeBron guy, and I don't know who... I mean, they don't have that kind of stigma in their mind. And you watch all these old guys, the Cleveland Cavaliers are horrible.
Yeah.
Other than LeBron James. I've learned to appreciate old players. J.R. Smith is the worst basketball player in the association still in the playoffs right now. He is terrible. He was 0 for 7. He doesn't play any defense. He yaks and tries to cheap shot guys.
No, he did cheap shot. That wasn't a try. He successfully cheap shotted him.
Yeah. And it just is, it's pathetic. I don't even know how he's playing basketball right now in a starting lineup in the playoffs.
Meanwhile, you know, you have three guys that score in double figures for Cleveland. LeBron gets 42, Love scores 22, Kyle Korver has 11. The entire Celtics starting five scored in double figures, and their sixth man, Marcus Smart.
Team basketball.
Added 11 points as well. Their highest scorer was Jaylen Brown with 23 points. And it is the epitome of team basketball.
You know what my favorite part of the game was last night? When Morris goes up for his layup, and then just, I don't know, whatever. It just looked like one of those, right back at Tristan Thompson.
Oh, yeah.
And then it got into a little bit of a, hey, bro, don't do that, bro. Don't you dare, Chesta. Don't you, bro. No, don't you dare do that. Don't you dare do that.
You better not.
I mean, it was a chest up moment. Yeah. It was a lot of, and then they got double technicals for doing what? For being angry?
Well, when you talk about the J.R. Smith shove, I love Marcus Smart. Yeah. That dude, I would pay for that pay-per-view, too. I would love to see those two duke it out, because Marcus Smart, he's a dangerous man.
There's our business idea. We need to take sports grudges on the court, on the gridiron, on the diamond.
Ooh, bad for
charity
careers.
Charity fights in the offseason.
Bad for careers. But
they
good
did.
For,
Celebrity
good
death match. You remember that?
Yeah, no. Just make claymations. Yeah, that's fine. Let's do that.
Yeah, we can CGI that now.
We can simulate them. We have the technology now.
Yeah. Sure.
But Marcus Smart, and that to me is the epitome of, this is what teams do. When there's a hard foul in the playoffs, you want that team that has that guy that is like, nah, heck nah. And Brad Stevens after the game had two comments on two of those guys, that Boston has two dudes you do not mess with, anybody on the floor, because they're coming to get their guys back.
Well, I think he's as tough as they come. Right, he is a true competitor. He's matches his intensity with a physical toughness. You know, we talked about it before the game. He's people, you know, talk about him all the time. Sometimes they focus on things that don't matter, and the other times they focus on that he impacts winning. And we're really glad he's on our team.
And that's on Marcus Smart, right? Where, like, people focus on him kind of going over the edge. Well, last night he goes for 11 points and 9 assists coming off the bench, right? The other guy that people don't talk about but has that same edge, and it's like when the chippiness starts and it starts getting back and forth, it's not just he's that little dog that nips at your heels, but he makes big time shots, and that's Terry Rozier.
He's competitive, but he's certainly not scared. But I think that comes from belief in yourself, from the work you put in, and we've talked about his work ethic's really good. So we're gonna need him and everybody else to continue to play great.
Two guys, he said, the grit, drive, right? Competitiveness. Name one person on Cleveland's roster outside of LeBron James that has any of those qualities.
There's nobody on that roster that has any of that. There's no other than LeBron James. No, there's nobody.
Like, who would Ty Lue or LeBron James talk in that vein about on any of their...
There's nobody. I mean, that roster's bad.
Kendrick Perkins, who's on a suit in the sideline.
Right. Mm-hmm. Take it to Portland. Right? Outside of Damian Lillard, who are you saying that about on that roster?
No, Ed Davis.
Ed Davis.
Yep.
You have Ed Davis that has that. Yeah, I could agree with that.
I would take Ed with me anywhere. If I need him.
Too.
Yeah, I would take him anywhere. He could be right in my hip pocket.
But then
we're rolling.
We look at what is the people claim to be, and I think you and I are in agreement of this, the NBA Finals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is you're looking at Warriors, Rockets. That's the NBA Finals, right?
That is.
You've got a...
Or, no, I'm not. You know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to just crown Golden State and say it's just that easy. I like something about what the Boston is putting down where they don't give a blank about who they're facing and what they're doing.
That's fair.
It is fair. And if when they do finish this off, which they will win this series now because LeBron is done, physically cannot win a game, a series by himself versus a team, a real good team. Brad Stevens is the best coach. I'm on board with you. Mm-hmm. They're not going to just walk into Golden State, and Golden State's not going to walk on them. They're too young, they're too smart, and they have... They're too dumb enough, young and dumb, to know what they're playing like. They just don't care.
Yeah.
And they're efficient.
Yeah. And, okay, so if you look at this Golden State team.
They still win. Golden State still wins, but it's not going to be a walk in the park.
Right. So you got this Golden State team. You mentioned we could go Draymond Green, David West, mm-hmm. cheap shot artist Zaza Pachulia.
Yep.
Those are three guys that you can name on that roster that have that grit and competitiveness.
Well, I'll tell you, Klay Thompson's one, too. He just doesn't change his look.
The stoner look on his face.
Yeah, man, that is a stone-cold killer. You just watch him. That's just who he is.
Yeah.
He doesn't care. He doesn't care about the notoriety. He said it yesterday. I don't need all that. I get paid a lot of money to make some shots. Get out of my way.
And you know what? As a Warriors fan, a potential matchup with the Celtics scares me for the reason of that grit and their ability to get under people's skin. Yeah. I can see Marcus Smart inciting something with Draymond Green and getting him run for
the game. Want it now.
You know,
I don't need to see.
They'll be a good match, but yeah. I worry about the Warriors in that sense. Could they rile them up? Could they get them out of their rhythm? There's a little sensitivity on the Warriors side to that stuff.
Cavs get beat by 50 in a series every single game. It's terrible. We can't see it.
And if the Houston Rockets make it out of the series, right? Which I know. But if they do, here's the overriding theme, though.
Yeah.
You have Chris Paul, who when he gets irritated, he'll knee or elbow Kevin Durant in the butt. He'll run his mouth. Trevor Ariza does the same. PJ Tucker. Blazer fans know PJ Tucker well for getting under when he was at the Suns. PJ Tucker would get under everybody's skin for the Portland Trail Blazers. You have those guys, and Cleveland has none. The four teams that are remaining have no guys that have that grit, edge, competitiveness that you're talking about. Because J.R. Smith used to be that guy, and he's like lost that for whatever reason.
Oh, he's just terrible.
He'll just two-hand shove somebody, and then he shuts down. He's gone for the rest of the game, right? And that, to me, you look at this series, Brad Stevens is like a psychologist. He gets the most out of his guys, and they're absolutely rolling right now and making adjustments in games, and he's not afraid to try new things. And if they fail, his guys are like, cool, Jaylen Brown gets toasted in the first quarter. All right, fine, we'll go back to Marcus Morris. We'll put Marcus Smart on LeBron. Good job. Way to go. You beat him. We'll find another way to beat you.
Yeah, we'll find somebody else to do that. And who's going to step up? Well, no. Scary Terry's going to make a shot.
Scary Terry makes a bunch of shots.
He did. I like him a lot. But I'm really, really liking this Celtics roster. The East is in such good shape with Philly and Boston for the next, let's hope, 6-7 years. Can we get some of that? Because we're in good shape.
Sign me up.
100%. Please.
And
get
by the way,
LeBron, come on West, because the East is fine without you. Come on out West. Show up to the Rockets. Show up to the Lakers. Whatever you want to do. Just do me a favor. Don't go to the Philadelphia 76ers.
Come to Portland.
Okay. Is that billboard?
Why do you not want him to go to Philly?
I don't. Why?
Yeah.
Because I'd like to see a team develop into team basketball and see that. I don't know if LeBron can not be the guy.
Right.
I don't know if he can do that.
He would be the guy. He's the best player in the world, no matter where he goes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's the guy. I think that Philly has something there. I think all of us do. And I think we know that Boston's doing it. come out west and play with the old guys and come out west and battle with the West and join Houston and make for good NBA TV for the next 3 years.
And Philly, oh, by the way, gets another top 10 pick because that pick with the Lakers fell to them, so they will be drafting 10th overall.
Boom, boom, boom.
Oh, man. All right, well, 2-0 series lead. Cavaliers, we can start writing them off, but something tells me, you know, if they hold serve on their home court, we may head back with the series even at 2. And there's something that you could see because Boston is great at home. They're 9-0 in the postseason. They've stubbed their toe on the road, though, and I could see that happening in games 3 and or 4. But right now, they are the better team, and I think we all kind of see that happening as the roadmap to the NBA Finals for them. And tonight, game 2, Warriors in Houston, already stealing home court in game 1, 6 o'clock tip. Over on TNT. We mentioned the 76ers have got the number 10 overall pick. The draft lottery was last night. Oh my gosh, was that long. Here's Buck with SportsCenter. Tanking paid off for the Phoenix Suns yesterday. As they picked up the number 1 overall pick, we talked about this, that they had a 25% chance of landing numero uno because they did not actively attempt to win any basketball games last year. Well, it worked for them, but it did not work for the two teams that were actually vocal about their tanking. You know, when we talked about this, when we said, wouldn't it be awesome if the NBA rigged it and rewarded Boston or Philly with the top 3 pick?
Just to irritate all those tanking teams.
And although they did not do that, because if Philly would have gotten the number 1 pick, or if the Lakers would have got the number 1 pick, it would have gone to Philly. Or if it would have gone 2 or 3, it would have gone to Boston. What ended up happening, though, is that the two teams that went public with their tanking, the Mavericks and the Grizzlies, they both got bumped out of the top 3 picks. And Phoenix got number 1. And then you saw number 2 is the Sacramento Kings, who were, they were the big jumpers in that thing because they were supposed to be, what was it, 7th or 8th? Is that right, Buck?
I think they're supposed to be 6th, either 6th or 7th.
And they ended up jumping up there. No matter what it was, they only had less than 5% chance of getting in there, and they got into that top 5, or into the top 3, and they're selecting number 2. And then the Hawks, who they didn't try to actively lose, they just had a terrible roster, they get the 3rd overall pick in Memphis and Mavericks. Bye, guys. Sitting 4th and 5th in a draft that it's top 3 and then kind of everybody else.
I don't feel bad because I was reading the stories about the draft and the tanking and how much Adam Silver is finding this a major problem, yet we still have fans and everyone out there that think tanking is the way to make your team successful. It is not. But he was mentioning how one GM said to another general manager, called the current general manager and said, hey, you're not planning on resting any of your starters, right? The report comes out. He said, because they're so worried about having the starters rest, why? Against a tanking team. So the tanking team's coming in to lose. They're worried, asking one general manager to say, hey, you're not going to rest your starter because we really need to lose. This is where we're at. If you know that general managers are having this conversation, is it good for basketball? Well, look at your top 4. Yeah. Look at your top 4 organizations. Does anybody think Phoenix is a great organization? Has Sacramento ever done anything? How about Atlanta? Does anybody even know the Atlanta Hawks has a team since ever?
Since ever?
No.
By the way, did you see one of their star players did the old Julio Jones and he unfollowed on Instagram and deleted every Hawks post? That'd be Dennis Schroeder.
Yes. And well, said, I want out.
Case anyways, yeah.
Well, he says he wants out. Mm-hmm. And then you go on to say Memphis, tanking team. Mm-hmm.
Who's had a good trajectory? I mean, they've had a good course the last couple of years, or the last 10 years. They've been good for a decade. You know, but they are actively tanking, shutting guys down for the year. But Mike Connolly comes back with Marc Gasol, Chandler Parsons. They're going to be
NBA
okay.
players. That's what I'm saying. Is that this is there is a confusing time right now in the NBA because you can either have your franchise be the team that builds through the draft, so you have to tank to get the draft. That's what everyone says. Or you get free agents. Free agents are not going to Phoenix. Free agents are not going to Sacramento. Good free agents are not going to Atlanta. They're not going to Memphis. They're not going to Orlando. Where do they want to go? They want to go to New York. They want to go to Miami. They want to go to LA. Yeah. They want to go where teams, they want to go to San Francisco. That's where the good free agents go. So these other teams have to find a way to build through the draft. I understand that, but tanking is not the way to do it.
Call me crazy, but I think the number one and two teams and that are picking, Phoenix and Sacramento, they were, like, Phoenix was really young. When you look at the guys that they played, Devin Booker, Josh Jackson, who represented them there, Dragan Bender, Marquise Chris, the Washington guy.
Yeah. I mean, no, they have a good core.
They could be, they were just young and sucked. And Tyson Chandler got old. Did they tank? Yeah. But they could be
Booker's a star. 3 years. He's a star.
They could be pretty good.
Sure.
And then if you look at Sacramento, and you're right about the free agency thing right now, but I mean, Phoenix has hit in free agency before with Amari, like when you had Amari Stoudemire and then you had Tyson Chandler, right? Those guys, I mean, those are good. Or did they draft Amari? I don't know, but Tyson Chandler went down there coming off the heels of the championship and the Blazers were after him. They just haven't fit that. The Suns or the Kings, though, that was a team that actually tried. And they were just old and bad at times. But they played hard. You knew you were going to get a tough game with them. And I'm glad that they got the number two pick because that would make it more fun to see. The thing that bothered me the most about that, it took forever to get that lottery thing all sorted out. Because you looked on the TV guide last night on the the Comcast thing, 4:30 to 5 is what it was supposed to be. And then it was supposed to go right to game two on ESPN.
Yeah.
They did not unveil those picks until 5:19 is when they started. It was an hour of fluff in commercial breaks. I've never seen so many commercial breaks in a row. And ESPN dragged that thing out so long that they had to go just straight to the tip of game two, which it was by design to do it that way. But just give us the lottery. Don't make it into a show because nobody cares.
Well, they're trying to sell their ads. You need to make sure that their ad space gets sold, right?
And we've seen this happen with the selection show with March Madness where they don't reveal it till forever.
Same with
they
college
take
football playoff release.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really need shows for any of these. They could do it in 30 seconds.
Put it on Twitter, just bang,
exactly.
There it is.
But it's a source of revenue. So
of course. We all know the reality of it.
Dude, it took forever. Why? And did you know?
I did not know.
That Jamie Gertz, do you remember Jamie Gertz, the actress?
Mm-hmm.
She was the rep for the Atlanta Hawks.
See, that's always my favorite part of the lottery, the different people that teams send out there. Celebrities or legends of the team or good luck charms. Remember the Cavs owner sent his kid out there and got the first pick twice with him or whatever?
They sent him out last time and he was... they sent him out yesterday too and he was cocky. He was like, I feel like I'm going to get it again. I feel really confident.
Well, they did get the eighth pick, so I guess that's good.
That's right where they were supposed to be.
Yeah, but that's a top 10 pick. They're going to need it because their top guy will be Gonzo.
Yes, it is. But Jamie Gertz, you remember her from, I had a crush on her growing up. The Lost Boys, mm-hmm. Twister. Mm-hmm. She was in both those movies. Mm-hmm. And she was in Still Standing.
I don't remember that movie.
It's not a movie. It's a sitcom.
Just a show. Sitcom. Okay.
Yeah.
Show.
I had a little thing for her, though. And it was good to see her taking home the number three pick for the Atlanta Hawks. She looks great, too. She looks phenomenal. I don't know how old she is, but she looks phenomenal. I mean, she was in Lost Boys. She's got to be in her 50s, right?
God, I'm trying to think.
Lost Boys was 86, 87.
Gosh, that's such a good movie.
Talk about creepy movies.
Yeah, creepy movie, but great movie.
Yeah.
Great movie.
Great opening scene, mm-hmm. You know, where it kind of sets it all up, where they're following around down the mm-hmm. beach and then they go.
That and Wolf of Wall Street, great opening scenes.
I know people that watch Wolf of Wall Street.
And were shocked out of their mind.
Like with their mother.
What?
Well, yeah, because you go in, you don't really know. You don't know what you're getting yourself into. You don't think that is going to happen to start the movie, did you? Did you walk into that movie going...
I didn't walk into the movie.
This is what's going to happen.
I watched it at home.
Yeah, but
I didn't see it in the theater.
Okay, did you expect a
no
hardcore scene to start the movie?
No.
Yeah, you're thinking.
But it's, I kind of knew who the director was and understood that things are going to be a little bit racy. I figured that.
But right from the get-go. I mean, you're thinking racy. You're thinking of Gordon Gekko racy, right? I mean, where you have a little bit of some, but right in your face right at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Watching that with your parents would be a little weird.
Yeah, it would be.
I know several people that went down that road. Yowzas. It's a Leonardo DiCaprio movie.
Leo's crazy.
Well, yes, he is. Have you seen some of the stories about he and his group?
He's crazy. He's crazy.
He should probably be in jail.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody ever talks about it.
Underrated movie he's in, The Beach.
Never seen it.
Buck?
Never seen it.
Hmm. Never heard of it.
I've heard of it. Wasn't it after the Titanic? Like right after the Titanic?
Yeah, it was Thailand. I think it's filmed just outside of Thailand. Watch it. It's underrated. It's good. I think it's good. The haters are going to start flying, but yeah.
Okay.
I like Shutter Island and The Aviator, also underrated.
Oh, The Aviator.
Shutter Island, creepy. Oh. Any movie having to do
good
with
suspense.
A mental hospital is a little...
As you can see, this is how much we care about the NBA draft lottery, folks. We went right to movies.
Yeah, you know what's more interesting than the draft lottery? Almost everything.
Draft lottery and tanking.
Mm-hmm.
Tank.
Mm-hmm. All right. 55305. That is the Fan text line. We have a follow-up to a creepy story from last week. Dustin Kim on the Fan. All right, we have got a follow-up to kind of an off-the-rails story that we had last week. But before we get to that, World Cup is coming up in Russia. There's nothing corrupt about Russia hosting major sporting events. We know that.
So or soccer in general.
Soccer and FIFA would never be involved in that. But Argentina is a really good soccer country. You know, they got this guy named Messi. Heard of him? And they had a meeting with players, coaches, support staff, and media that will be heading to Russia for the World Cup. And it was put on by the Argentine Football Association, the governing body in the country. And it was just like, hey, this is how you handle things in Russia. These are some tips, what to do, what not to do. Well, during this meeting, they got to a part in the slideshow and in your manual that you got called What to Do to Have a Chance with a Russian Girl.
Okay.
And they got a few bullet points in there.
All right.
Before Russia, the Argentine.
What did they do?
The executives were going, no. Mm. Put a stop to the meeting and tore that chapter out of the book. Because they were like, this is a horrible idea. How to pick up chicks. Well, there was a journalist who got a copy of it. And his name is Nacho Cotullo. And so he posted pictures of what they say to pick up on Russian chicks while you're there for the World Cup. You want to hear what they are?
I do. I know. Of course I do.
I have it. It was all in Spanish, so I'm not going to give you the Spanish version. I'll give you the translated version. Number one is Russian girls are like any girls. Pay close attention. They care if you're clean, you smell good, and if you're well-dressed. First impression is important.
Clean.
It's pretty standard.
Smell good. Well-dressed.
Russian girls do not like to feel like objects. Many men, because the Russian women are beautiful, just want to take them to bed. Maybe they want it too. But they are people who want to feel important and unique. The advice is to treat the women who is in front of you with your own ideas and wishes. Pay attention to their values and their personalities. Don't ask stupid questions.
Is this governing body just giving us advice on how to deal with women in general?
Yeah. That's all.
Hold on. I'm not done with this one.
Women.
Yet. Don't ask stupid questions about sex. All for the women. Russians, sex is very private and not a topic to discuss in public.
Okay, is that it? All right.
And then it has in here his own thoughts. Maybe you don't believe me, but I know that this is it. Okay, this seems pretty standard.
Sounds like
right?
An American woman.
Russian girls hate boring men.
American.
Have topics to talk about.
American.
Seriously. Number four, don't be negative.
American.
Yeah, the women avoid people that see only negative things.
It's the lamest list ever. I'm going to give this a multiple L.
Don't ask typical questions. Boring. Russian women like men that take the initiative. If you don't have confidence, gosh. Right.
Did he just get this out of the women's handbook? How to pick up a woman?
Yeah, he says, don't dominate the conversation.
All right.
It's not really.
No.
Why did they tear this page out of the book? And then it says, don't try to impress them in the wrong way. Maybe you're going to impress them about talking about your money and how you know everything.
Yeah, man.
What do you think the guy who wrote this chapter of the manual?
He's single.
Well, what did he think? Like these soccer players are just knuckle-dragging Neanderthals?
I think so. I think that they're thinking that these guys are just athletes and they're just going to show up and it's going to be groupie love.
Yeah.
They're just going to walk all over them.
I could have shortened this chapter. He's got 8 bullet points. Don't be a douche.
Okay. I like it. Simple.
I mean, that's pretty much it, right?
Simple. Yeah, simple.
There it is.
Be respectful. Listen to her. Ask questions.
I don't understand why people are acting like this is a big deal and now they're apologizing for it. You don't need an apology for this.
Well, the apology's got to be because they were trying to help these soccer players pick up chicks, which they shouldn't need any help with. Right?
Why do you need to apologize for that, though? You know?
I mean, probably not a soccer governing body's job to help
those
guys.
Those eight are all about being respectful to women. Mm-hmm. And that's basically it. On that note, we go to a follow-up story from what we had last week. Remember the crazy stalker lady that I told you about who sent 65,000 text messages to a guy she met on a dating app?
Yeah.
And showed up and broke into his home and took a bath in his bathtub and said she loved him?
Crazy women have been in the news lately.
There was a butcher's knife on her passenger seat too, is that right?
Yes, there was.
She wanted to bathe in his blood, as you said.
Yeah. We have audio of her.
Oh my gosh.
And
sit back and enjoy.
She's about what you
sit
would
back.
Expect.
So you're not angry with him?
No. Oh my God, no, I love him so much. I just want to love him so much, that's it. And if he doesn't like it, then I'll go home and I'll love my ex-boyfriend. What am I supposed to do? The point of love is to keep giving it. That's the math equation. It's love equals 3.3, which is infinity, times E equals MC squared, which is light. Light is forever. L equals 3. L, if loved was a number, it would be 3. So it's infinity times light, which is also infinity. So it's just forward, forever forward. And if you're selfish, you can't understand that because you want something in return. He's not giving me anything in return, and I still love him anyway. That's what love is. That's what the universe is supposed to be made of.
What?
Okay.
Love is 3.
Infinity times
why,
life.
Wait, hold on. Why is love 3.3?
No, 3.13.
Okay, why?
Is you're like, asking me to get inside.
Is it like pi, how it this, never ends?
Yes. Continuing.
3.14 blah, 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 blah.
Oh multiple numbers.
Gosh. And if...
Well, that's loyalty.
Okay. What if you're the ex-boyfriend? You're sitting there and you hear that. She's like, well, if he doesn't love me, then I'll just go back to loving my ex-boyfriend. He's like, no! 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 Absolutely not, Tina. I do not want you to love me anymore.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Why in the... That okay. is terrifying. In her eyes, they got all big and bulging. She's scary.
So you tell me, if I gave you the choice, would you rather, as we're going to sit there, save this for Friday... Do you want her as your boyfriend? I'm sorry.
Wouldn't have a boyfriend.
Girlfriend?
Don't.
Or do you want Lucas Glover's wife?
Yeah, Lucas Glover's wife beat up his mom after the players.
Did you see her mugshot?
Yeah, she has crazy eyes.
She looks like she took everything possible. Her eyes, she has no outer eye. I don't know what that's called. Her pupils are completely dilated. It looks like I can see right through her.
No iris.
Iris,
no
thank
color
you.
To
thank
her
you.
Eye.
No, there was nothing. It was just dark, black. And you know, my son heard this. They were listening. We were listening to Isaac and Suk on the way to the baseball game, and they started listening to this. And we were, and my boys are like, my oldest son. He goes, "Dad, that's Lucifer right there." And I went, "Oh wow,
wow.
Big word, kid." Wow. Went right there. But yes, you looked at her picture.
She's got
holy moly.
She's kind of hot, but she's also got that crazy look.
One of our texters said of the last soundbite, she sounds hot. She sounds insane.
I mean, you go with that one. You have that.
That's sarcasm. there's a one thing in the Lucas Glover article, though. So basically, Lucas Glover shoots a 60 or 78 on a Saturday at the Players. And his wife and him got into an altercation out in the parking lot. Lucas Glover's mom tries to break it up, and she attacked his mom.
Yeah.
Okay. She gets arrested, thrown in the back of the patrol car, and she starts kicking the door and going nuts. Lucas Glover's mom, for whatever reason, drops the charges. But in the police report, did you see this little nugget?
No, I haven't read this part.
At every time after Lucas Glover has a bad round, she yells at him. And she berates him. She picks fights with him every time he shoots a bad round.
And this is his second wife, correct? I think it's his second wife.
I don't know, but
yeah, he got divorced from his first. This is his second.
Yikes!
Yeah, and by the way, guys, I looked at the lady, the crazy lady with the 65,000 texts. Not hot.
I mean,
no, So she's not hot and she's
But she's not as... She's not... It's not like you'd sit there and you'd be like, that's going to be a lonely person, like, forever. Like, she looks like you look at her and you're like...
She's on the internet forever. Her. Everybody knows her now in the world. Nobody's dating that woman ever.
Dude, not again. Obviously. And they probably shouldn't even before this because you talked to her one time and she sends you 65,000 text messages. This is like, you look at her though and you're like, oh yeah, you know, I could see somebody.
Do you know who Lucas Glover's wife is? You know who Lucas Glover's wife is? What? It's Will Ferrell's wife in Talladega Nights. That's who she is.
Yeah, probably.
No, that's exactly what she looks like.
No, that's what I'm saying. Who she is.
Yeah.
And that's who she looks like.
That's a good call.
She looks like whoever that actress woman is. Because she's kind of a, you know, just kind of milfy, hot, old mom. Blonde, bombshelly.
Yeah.
Totally. That's who she is. You're not first, you're last.
She's probably got fake, you know,
Of course she does. And... Yeah, it's a little bit of everything. She has no soul when you see her picture.
She has those crazy eyes, though.
No soul.
Have you seen Evil Genius on Netflix?
I watched the first episode last night.
No.
Terrifying.
Really?
It's really good. You remember back in 2003, it's the only thing that I remember from my first... training camp. There are two things I remember from training camp in my freshman year of college. That was the year that Britney Spears and Madonna made out in the VMAs. And then this other thing, and there's a bank robbery in Pennsylvania where the guy had the bomb attached to his neck.
Oh.
And it went off. Evil Genius is about the plot and the plan that went into that in August of 2003.
Wow.
And the lady who is the center of that documentary, you look at her eyes one time and you're like, that lady's nuts. Like, and she's got...
It sounds like must watch.
She's got serious... Oh, it is stuff like a movie writer cannot come up with the plot.
Yeah, they left a great cliffhanger at the end of episode one. I really wanted to fire up episode two last night, but couldn't.
Oh, you can't binge it?
You can binge it. I just had to go to bed.
Oh, yeah.
You have to wake up.
They're between 35 and 45 minutes long each one.
That's good.
So it's like,
good times.
Did you guys also see Wild Wild Country? Did you watch that? The one about
Rajneeshis.
Yeah, the what do you want to call it, sect or cult out in Eastern Oregon?
Yeah. I haven't seen it yet.
Same people who did that documentary, the Duplass brothers, they did this documentary.
Hmm. Interesting. All right. Well, moving forward. Crazy people. Love is not pie. It is not forever. It is not infinite. But that lady, she'll bathe in your bathtub because she believes it.
That's enough.
Coming up next, why Dennis Dodd thinks the love in the Pac-12 is not infinite. It's pretty blunt and honest assessment of the Pac-12 conference from CBS Sports national college football writer. This is Dustin Kam on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.